as Kathy says, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 8 to 36, David's Psalm of Thanks. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him. Tell of all his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he has pronounced. O descendants of Israel, his servant. O sons of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant he made with Abraham, the oath he swore to Isaac. He confirmed it to Jacob as a decree, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. To you I will give the land of Canaan as a portion you will inherit. When they were but few in number, few indeed, and the strangers in it, they wandered from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another. He allowed no man to oppress them. For their sake he rebuked the kings. Do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared among all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and joy in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the seas resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Then the trees of the forest will sing, and they will sing for joy before the Lord. For he comes to judge the earth. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, O God our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name, that we may glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting.
Take seats, and we're going to think a bit more about this passage that was read, a long passage from a part of the Old Testament where they're basically telling the story of the history of the people of Israel. And it's good to kind of rehearse that a bit, to go back in time. We're talking like best part of 3,000 years back from today. The people of Israel were led by God. There is this guy, Moses, who was God's appointed leader. And he got the people together. And they were led out of slavery. They had been trapped in Egypt and were subservient or slaves. And God led them out of slavery and started them on a journey. Going across the desert. They were called now to be his people, God's people. They were called to worship him. And they were called to declare the wonders and the glory of God to the nations. And God made promises to them. And in the desert, he spoke to them through Moses. big mountaintop experiences, all kinds of wonderful things going on. And he made agreements with them. He made what are called covenants, where God's making agreement with his people. And these were literally etched on tablets of stone, carved into tablets of stone, these agreements between God and the people. And to give the people a focus, God told them, make a box, an ornate box, overlay it with gold, and you can carry the box around, and you can put these tablets with the covenants etched into them, into the box, and that'll give you a focus to worship, not something to worship, but something to help you worship God. And they literally carried this big ornate box around with them through the desert for years and years and years. And eventually, they got to the land that God had promised, this land that is known as Israel. It's basically more or less the same geographical Israel that we have today. And they had arrived. But still, it was many, many more years, and several different leaders, and eventually having a king, and then a second king, a king called David, where things started to come together. And after all this time, David wanted things to be right. He didn't want this kind of temporary business of having a makeshift temple and the box somewhere in that. No, he wanted to establish it, and he wanted things to be right and establish a center of worship, which would be in God's chosen place. That's a place called Jerusalem, pretty much the same Jerusalem as today. And after lots of long story that's all in the Bible, eventually he got this box that was called the Ark of the Covenant, the box containing the stones etched with the words of the covenant. He finally got it to Jerusalem and said, right, now this will be the epicenter, the very center of our worship to God. And we're going to celebrate just taking the ark to Jerusalem. He had been worshipping all the way. That's another story. It involves nakedness, and that's all kind of fun stuff. But we'll do that another time. He got the ark to Jerusalem and said, let's praise. And he didn't want this praise just to be a one-hit wonder. Didn't want it to just be one day or an hour. He said, let's praise from today and each day thereafter. And so he literally established this kind of system of worship day in, day out. And with that, he and others wrote material things to help them praise, some words. And the words we had read today is one of those passages. And it's recorded in this book called Chronicles, Chronicling the History of the People of God. And they have this wonderful song of praise. And so some highlights, just briefly, from, there's a big passage, but just some highlights for you. Verse 8, the start, give praise, tell it out, sing your heart out, tell the things that what God has done, rejoice, praise God, enjoy the glory of God's. And then verse 12, remember what God has done. He's brought us out of slavery. We've got to this place because of what God has done. Remember that, rehearse that, his actions. Now remember that word, remember, because we'll come back to that in a few moments. Then verse 23 and also verses 31, 32, 33, talk of all creation to join in praise. It talks of the trees of the forest, the seas, the fields, all earth and heaven. In other words, everything that God has created, heaven and earth, can join in God's praise. Everything created by God, every piece of matter, every atom, every quark, every Boson-Higgs, I guess David didn't know about the Boson-Higgs bit, but all of that stuff can praise God. And then verse 23, 24 and 28 talk about all earth sing. Declare to the nations the glory of God. Let nations give praise. You see, the people of God, formed by God, led out of Egypt, out of slavery, to form this nation, Israel, they were given promises by God, but they are at the center of something global. The center of something that is for the whole world. The desire of God is that all people around the whole world can enjoy him. This is, people who are regular here would have heard me say this before. This is God's global mission purposes. His desire that everyone around the whole world can join in and praise him. So whether it's from Alaska to New Zealand, see what I did there, whether it's from the land of a polar bear to the land of the penguin, the whole lot can join in with praising God. And then verse 35, cry out, give thanks, glory in praise. Glory. It's a funny term. Maybe we wonder what exactly does that mean? But here, glory in praise, it's something active. It's something that we do to be in the presence of God. And at the beginning of and the end of this passage, near the beginning, verse 10, and here in verse 35, we see that there's a connection between our determination to praise God and being in the glory and the wonder of his presence. A moment where the atmosphere changes, where time seems to stand still and all senses are heightened and everything just seems to be wonderful because it is filled with the glory of God. So if you take nothing else from this morning, just take this one little simple point. There's a connection between our determination to praise and the glory of God being around us. It's not automatic, but what we can say is that if we have no willingness to praise, don't be surprised that there's no glory of God knocking around. There's a connection between our determination to praise and sensing the glory of God. And so that raises a question for us. Are we to be a praising people? Are we to be a people desiring to give God praise? But here's a couple of other things that I want to say this morning. This is a high point for King David, a high point for the people. They've brought this ark, this strange ornate box thing to Jerusalem, establishing this God-centric worship. But as we've seen in a few of the verses, David realized, and it comes through in this song of praise, that whilst this was the epicenter, it was something that was part of something much bigger. It was to do with God's global purposes. It wasn't for them to gather around this box and worship and praise and feel good about themselves and look inwards, although they could feel good about themselves. No, this was the first drops, which would then drop and ripple outwards. If you go to the next slide. Please, Ollie. Rippling out, spreading out across the whole world. They're starting to praise God and be a praising people, a people of worship, would ripple out around the surrounding nations and further around the world. So our key question this morning is about the sense of being part of something bigger. And if we go to the next slide, our question is, do you feel part of God's bigger purposes? Or does that kind of wash past you by? Do you sense that being part of a family here, that it's good to be here, but actually you're part of what something bigger that God is doing around the world? But the stuff we do here might ripple out across the city, might ripple out and influence the country in some way with our fellow brothers and sisters who are following Jesus and with people around the globe. We are something, part of something bigger. Do you get that? Do you sense that? Do you feel that? Can you get on board with that? And I said that as the people of God, they were to be a people of praise and worship. Are we that people? Are we communicating through our words, through our actions, through the very way we live, the wonders of God? And so the challenge to go into this week and the next few weeks, the challenge is contribute one sentence of praise per day into whatever environment you are in, day by day. Just one sentence, not too much to ask, just one sentence. Contribute something that tells people the wonders of God each day. But the other thing to say is to go back to verse 12 and remember, I said, remember the word remember. Remember what God has done. We looked at this a few weeks ago, looking at Nehemiah. He rehearsed what God had done. And David does the same here in verse 15. He says, let's look back at those promises, those covenants, those agreements. And David knows that they go back not just to the time of coming out of Egypt and trekking across the desert. They go back way, way, way further than that. They go back hundreds and hundreds of years to their forefather, a guy called Abraham, who lived way, way, way back. And God gave promises to him and made agreements with him and said, look, you're going to be the father of a great nation, the nation that now David was part of, and you would bless all peoples, the whole world. That sounds familiar. That's that global mission purpose business again. You will bless all peoples. It will ripple out from you and your family around the whole world. Now, how did David know this stuff? How did David remember this stuff? Well, maybe they had their tradition. Maybe they had their oral stories passed down, told father to son, mother to daughter, down through the generations. Maybe they also had their written records, the kind of stuff that eventually has become our scripture, our Old Testament, in our Bibles today. But one way or another, it's quite clear that David clearly rehearsed this stuff. He went over it again and again so he could bring it to mind in these kind of songs of praise. He was rooted back in God and what God has promised and done. And so that's another, what I'm calling bedrock habits. We've talked in the last few weeks of a bedrock habit of prayer, of seeking God in prayer. It forms our roots. But another one is our engagement with what God has said and done, that for us is written down and is in print, or you can get it on your iPhone or on the net, in loads of different ways, reading our Bibles, reading our scripture, connecting and rehearsing and going over what God has said and done, and making that a habit. Let me tell you a story. In the 1970s, in Vietnam, as we know, the communists took over. And anyone who wasn't in agreement with this, they simply rounded up and sent to a hard labor camp. And Christians were included in this because the communists didn't like anyone who had a faith in Jesus. They saw that as a threat. And so they rounded them up and put them in a labor camp. And they didn't just leave them there to do hard labor. They had a kind of a brainwashing program, bombarding them with their communist stuff and propaganda, trying to reprogram them, if you like, to become good communists by the end of their sentence. And there was a Christian, and he was locked up, as many others were, and he found himself in this labor camp all on his own. His Bible, of course, was confiscated, and so he had no contact with any Christian material or any other Christians. The only stuff that he got was this bombardment of stuff from his communist prison guards who were trying to brainwash him and make him a good communist and a good atheist. And do you know what? It effectively worked. It got to the point where day by day he would pray in the morning, he would pray in the evening. And it got to the point where one evening he thought, God, you just seem so far away. I don't even think you exist anymore. Maybe these guards are right. Maybe I should just go with what they're saying. And one night he said to God, he prayed, look, God, I don't even think you're there now. So I'm going to stop praying. Tonight will be my last prayer. And I'll wake up tomorrow morning and I'll just get on with being in prison until they let me out. And that will be fine. And so he prayed that and he went to sleep. The next morning he woke up and different to his usual routine, of course, he didn't pray. He thought, I've given that up now. God's not there, there's no point. I'm not doing that prayer business anymore. Now that morning he had a stroke of bad luck. Because when the guards came in to wake them up and get them out of bed, they pointed at this guy and said, today you are the one who is going to do the poo bucket duty. Okay, now you can guess what the poo bucket duty is. The poo bucket duty is going to the guardhouse, getting their toilet bucket for the night and slopping it out and cleaning it out. And this is what the guy had to do. So he went to the guard room, he got the bucket, and he was going to pour out the wee and the poo with the toilet paper. And then he realized that the toilet paper had prints on it. And he looked a bit closer at this smelly, yucky stuff. And he realized it wasn't just print, it was English print that he could read. Because he was able to read English, even though he was Vietnamese. And he thought, this is interesting. And he carefully smudged off the wee and the poo, you'll have to just imagine this bit, so that he could read the print. And this is what he read on the toilet paper in the poo bucket. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor powers, height, depth, nor anything in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. He was reading Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and on to 38 and 39. He realized, doing poo bucket duty, that God was speaking to him. He realized that God was real, not phony. That no matter what these communist people tried to do to him, that God would reach into his life. That God was greater than any communist power or any other power that tried to deny God and do horrible things. He also realized that the guards were using a confiscated Bible as their toilet paper. So he did two things. The first thing he did is he recommitted his life to following Jesus. We realized, look, God, if you can reach into my life here in this dratted labor camp while I'm doing poo bucket duty, I need to follow you. I need to worship you. And so he decided to do that. The second thing that he committed to do was that on the next day and the day after that and for days following, he would volunteer to do poo bucket duty. Because he figured, well, if they're using the Bible as toilet paper, then in future days I might get more pages. And so he did that. And sure enough, day by day, another piece of toilet paper, wipe off the wee and the poo, and he started to reconstruct a New Testament in his bunk from the poo bucket and was able to have a Bible. Let me ask each of you, who here is so desperate, so keen, so desiring to engage with God and communicate with him and read about what he has said and done, that you would volunteer to do the poo bucket duty and lovingly wipe off the wee and the poo each day to get some fragments of scripture so that you can read? Well, you're probably thinking, well, that's not a fair question because I'm not stuck in a communist labor camp. I have a Bible. I have three versions on my phone. If I press the right button, it will actually read the text to me. I don't even have to read it for myself. It will speak it out. Or I can go on the net, or there's David Suchet audio Bible, lots and lots of good stuff. But do you engage with that? Maybe. Maybe in our situation, our trouble is that we have high availability of Scripture in lots and lots of wondrous ways, but low engagement. Whereas this guy had drastically low availability. The only availability was via the poo bucket. But a high desire to engage. Make it your bedrock habit to be reading Scripture. There's loads of notes. Brian gets notes and gives them out. There's some in the rack there. There's all kinds of different ways of engaging. Just one simple way. If you don't have a regular habit, on the front of a news sheet, each week is a suggested reading passage. Just one or two chapters from Scripture, which loosely relates to what we're looking at on our Sunday. Sometimes it relates quite closely. Sometimes it's kind of nearby. At the moment, it's just started in Joshua. You'll understand why in a couple of weeks. Just use that, like one or two chapters. Say, I'm going to read that one chapter this week if you're doing nothing. Make it a bedrock habit. We've talked about our habit of prayer. We've talked about a habit of engaging with Scripture. The habit that David was establishing with this song of praise was a habit of praising God. And in the little diagram on the front of a news sheet, there's this tree, and the bedrock habits are down where the roots go down to. And the trunk of a tree is corporate worship, joining together to worship God, coming together. You see, David envisaged this worshiping community. Not just a one-day wonder, not just a one-hit wonder, but living a life of worship. And he knew that that wasn't just for them to feel good about themselves, not just to look inwards, but was something, part of something much, much bigger. That from them, God was able to ripple outwards around the nations and across the globe. Purposes that trace all the way back hundreds and hundreds of years ago to God giving promises to Abraham. But now they trace forward, and David realized that they were part of that and they were seeing that come true in their lifetime. And it traces forward through Jesus, who fulfills all that and becomes the king beyond all kings. And so in our day, each and every one of us can become a center of worship in our own lives, which is part of something bigger, not just for us to feel good about ourselves and enjoy the glory of God, although we can do that and that will be fantastic, but it will be part of something much, much bigger, sending ripples around the place, wherever we find ourselves, wherever we choose to go. Declaring that God saves. That God can draw people to himself. That God can encourage people to worship him. Not just people, but the whole of creation. The forests of the field, the seas, the land, every quark, atom, boson, Higgs can all be caught up in his praise. That's the invitation for us to be caught up with this morning. Let's pray, and then we'll continue with our praise.